current church, so. But yeah, I came in early yesterday, and we got to plan out what we're hoping to see God do in June. So anyway, pretty cool stuff. John, we ready, young man? There's my great host right there. Welcome. I'm Randy Davis. I am from the great state of Oklahoma. Sooner born, sooner bred. When I die, I'll be sooner dead, as they say. So I serve at a church called 12 Springs Baptist Church in Oklahoma City on the north side. Most of the women, when I ask them, do you know where 12 Springs Mall is? They said, yes. What woman doesn't know a mall, right? So we're just east of the mall up there on the north side. So been there 11 and a half years and transitioned from a singles pastor there to the adult pastor. So I still umbrella singles ministry, and I do our FIT ministry, which is First Impressions Team. So I do a lot of that. But I'm always honored to be here and to be invited back. It is a privilege of mine. It's a highlight of my year that I get to come to Houston's First Baptist. I only steal from the best, so I look at your website a lot and borrow ministry ideas and things. That's why they think I'm brilliant in 12 Springs Mall or 12 Springs Baptist. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into this important topic of prayer, okay? Father, we bless you tonight. We praise you. We glorify your name. We thank you that we can come to you in the strong name of Jesus, one who sits at the right hand of the throne and that intercedes for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that when we don't know how to pray, you pray for us. You intercede. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. I pray, Father, that you'll bless them. I pray, Father, that you will encourage them tonight. I pray, Father, that we will have an urgency to pray more, to trust you more, and to just intercede with you for not only ourselves, but for other people, that we get to communicate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get to communicate with the Creator. We get to talk. We get to converse with you. So we're grateful. Lord, I pray that they will hear you speak through me. Thank you for just allowing me to be here and be your vessel. Encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, on the back of your listening guide, I want you to take that blank sheet of paper before we get to the points on the other side. And I want you to do something for me. However you want to do this, I want you to write pray, either vertical or horizontal. And I want you to think about words associated with P-R-A-Y that are associated with what you could pray or how you should pray. All right? So one would be, P would be for me, could be a praise. You think of all kinds of other words. Don't just write one, write many. And then go to the R. What do you think R could stand for as we intercede and as we talk, as we pray? What could A symbolize and represent? And then why? Okay? And we'll talk about that just shortly. someone's done and would like to look up Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 6. I'd like to have that read here in just a little bit. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. I know your list isn't exhaustive, but it gives us a start. Someone have Colossians? And we're going to talk about prayerfully powerful, connecting our private prayer life to our life Bible study groups and how that works collectively and how that works together, okay? Anybody have Colossians 4? Read it loud and proud. Yes, ma'am.
What are the verses?
2 through 6.
Okay. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant and all in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, and you may know how you ought to answer each one.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'd encourage you to write that passage of Scripture down, Colossians 4, 2 through 6. It's very encouraging. I did this a couple weeks ago in one of our life Bible study groups, and we talked about this word pray, and we took the four letters. So tell me what P can stand for as we think about praying.
Praise.
Praise. Absolutely.
Petition.
Power.
Push.
Yes. Thank you.
Persistent.
Awesome.
Purposefully.
Yes. This is what I got out of this. This energized me. And some of us maybe have used the word acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So I just thought about doing this with our life Bible study group, and I got encouraged. So hopefully you were able to write some of those P words down, all right? Those are awesome. All right, so R, what can R stand for and encourage us?
Reverence.
Ooh, that's powerful.
Revelation,
yes.
I get revived.
Respond.
Respect.
Repent.
Well, there's one word I was looking for is repent. We finally got to it. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Rejoice.
Yes.
Request. Be real.
Yeah, be real. Just realness.
Rapid,
yeah.
Relationship.
Okay.
Reassurance.
That's encouraging, isn't it? These are great words. All right. A.
Attitude.
What? Attitude. Yes. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Okay.
Awaken.
Allow.
Always.
Okay. Always.
Augment.
Okay. Explain.
Let's build up.
Yes. Good. You got to remember who's leading you. I'm the Forrest Gump of ministers. Meaning, if God can use me, he can use anybody, okay? So if there's a big word that I don't understand, I'll just ask you. I only know two big words. Elephant and hippopotamus. That's the only two big words I know. So about as real as I get. I have the word ask, which is the petition word. The Bible says we have not because
we ask
not. And then we have a sour attitude sometimes when we don't get what we want when we pray. Okay.
Amplify.
Good. Any others?
Adoration.
Yes. It's good. All right. Why? Not why, but the letter Y.
Yield.
Yes, that was my first word, yield.
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
You.
Okay.
Yearn.
Very good. Yearn. That longing, desire.
Yeshua.
Yeshua, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because all of our answers are yes in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Very good.
Yet.
Yet? Uh-huh. Not yet? Okay. All right. The word praise is referenced in God's word 256 times. And we know Psalms 150 verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you take this word and many other of the P words, we can have a good prayer time, couldn't we, with all these words. Repent. It was referenced 73 times in God's word. The word ask is referenced 256 times. Let me give you some scriptures that maybe you can put down there with ask. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. And let me remind you that I am nothing, I'm a nobody. I'm just a child of God being used by God. But the most powerful word that could be spoken and said in here is God's word. Amen?
Yes.
So I'm just highlighting these things, but go back and read these. John 14, 13 and 14. Stay in John. We're in John 15, 5 through 8. And then John 16, 23 and 24. Now, when I looked for the word yield, the word search did not come up with the word yield in God's word, but the word submit did. And it's referenced 9 times. Colossians 2:20 under submit. Hebrews 13:17. And then James 4:7. James 4:7 is a verse that I memorized when I was 16 years old, going through a book of being discipled. I just finished a class on discipling and mentoring and coaching. I was being discipled, and one of the books that we read was a book called by C.S. Lovett, and I'm sure it's way out of print, but it's called Dealing with the Devil. And that was the hardest semester of reading that book, because guess what? Satan didn't want us as 16-year-old kids to learn about him. We sometimes would come to class, no one would have their book. You know why? We couldn't find our book. We set it here, and then you know how things get moved and shuffled at the house. But James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We come under that submission, that authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil. What does it mean to resist?
Put him off.
That's right. Speak to the hand. I'm not listening. Resist him. Get away. Submit the word to God, resist the devil, and what the promise is, he will flee from you. All right? So take those letters, those words that we came up with, and use them in your prayer time. Amen?
Amen.
I appreciate you being here. The importance of prayer is important. When the church stops praying, power will cease. Spiritual power will cease. But our church has a prayer room, a prayer ministry. To this day, we struggle to get prayer warriors in the prayer room. We have become busy people, haven't we? Now, you don't have to pray in a prayer room. But to go in there and to pray for the needs of the church, the needs of the people, the needs that are hurting, people that are need your prayer, it's important. Never underestimate the power of prayer, but never cease praying for other people. Because one day you're going to need to be prayed for. And you're going to want a group of people praying for you. So if you ever get word down here at Houston's First Baptist through Don Mutton's ministry that Randy Davis needs prayer, pray, baby. I don't care who prays. Pray. More prayer, the merrier for me. Okay? All right, let's look at our handout here. And The first one is the business we are in is spiritual business. We are in spiritual business. Let me find Acts 4 and read 23 through 31. We're in spiritual business, right? And I know all of you have occupations and jobs and whatever. Maybe some of you are retired. Praise the Lord for that. I'll never retire, I don't think, unless my three boys come through. Okay? I told them, my retirement is in your hands. My financial investor was thrilled to tell us recently, Amy and I, my wife, that you're just now moving out of the most expensive years of your life. You know, my youngest is a junior at OU, and the older two are already done with college. They're on their careers. And so Amy said the other day, "Baby, we got money left over in the checkbook." And I was able to put some money in savings. I said, "Thank God. Praise the Lord." You know? So life happens, right? But we need to remember we're doing spiritual business. Amen? We're in that spiritual business. All right, Acts 4, 23 through 31 says this. Hold on. All right. As soon as they freed Peter and John, found other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said, then all the believers were united and they lifted their voices in prayer. Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, seeing everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through the ancestors, King David and your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with their plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against the Messiah. That is what happened here in the city. And Herod and Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, he goes through talking about killing Jesus. In fact, everything they did, they occurred according to you and your eternal plan. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are in the business of spiritual business. And God is looking for people who will approach the throne of grace with boldness. All right? So, number one, there's no telling what God can and will do when His people pray. There's no telling what God will do when His people pray. I'm sure you have testimonies. You have opportunities that you can give witness to. That when the people of God pray, or a person prays for someone else, in faith, and how much faith do we have to approach the throne?
A mustard seed.
Has anyone ever seen a mustard seed? Think of the smallest seed you've ever seen, and it's that small. I did a talk several years ago about mustard seed faith, and went to a seed store and found some mustard seed. And those boogers are small. But what does Jesus teach us about having that type of faith? If we have that type of faith of a mustard seed, what does God's word tell us? Move mountains. The impossible becomes possible. So there's no telling what God can do with you as an individual. And then you take this to your life Bible study class and say, beloved, we need to get serious about prayer and take the needs of the people to the throne of grace and watch God do a mighty, mighty work. Amen? I remember growing up and being challenged to pray by my discipler. And it was interesting because, you know, a 16-year-old kid being discipled, you know, you pray for God to help you through tests that you're taking at school, not life tests. And then you grow up, and then you pray for tests, life tests. And then when I was 16, I began God seeing as I journaled and doing things like that, answering my prayers. I got, wow, there is a God. He's listening to me. He's answering my prayers. So what do you think that did for me as a 16-year-old kid?
Increased your faith.
Yes, encouraged and increased my faith and motivated me that this is serious. We could do this. Randy, you can take this serious. Now, I don't stand before you to pretend or to display that I'm a spiritual giant. I am not. But when God's word says to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he means for us to pray without ceasing. Now, it's that attitude. So, God bless you for living in Houston. I'm grateful you're here. Okay? But just coming down here and trying to get around. I like Oklahoma City. I really do.
We'll pray for you.
Thank you. But you've got it. You got some. I guess you got some time on your hands when you drive, right?
You leave early.
Yes. Well, I was telling a friend that's with me, Jay George, who's from Monroe, Louisiana, and he doesn't get much traffic in Monroe, Louisiana. Yeah. But he said, "Brother, you gotta pray your way around this place." I said, "Absolutely, you do." But think about taking that on. And we talked about. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, years ago. And my youth pastor, who I had served with, had to go speak at an FCA group at 7 a.m. You know what time we left? 5 a.m. to get where he needed to go. I thought, okay, metropolitan, big city, I'll stick where I'm at. Okay, God, if you want me to do that. But think about take the advantage of praying however long it takes you to get wherever you go. So how long does it take you to get where you go if you leave early with no traffic? An hour. Think about windshield time and praying. What'd you say? How many?
5 minutes.
Well, we know he's not going to be a spiritual giant. I'm teasing, brother. I love you. You know that. We had a little brief conversation. You might get more done in 5 minutes of praying than most of us would get in an hour, right? All right. So, my point is, take advantage of what God has you doing with the time you have on earth. Amen? Because we're in spiritual business. So think about that. Number two, your setting. This is about your private prayer life and location. You remember a few years ago, maybe it was last year, because I talked, maybe 2 years ago I talked on this subject. That was when the movie War Room came out.
Yep.
How many saw or remember War Room? Yeah. Wow, that's right. Wasn't that awesome? So, it's not so much that you have a room that you create war in, or that you do war things with, but turning your car into a war room when you travel around this great city. All right? Turning your place of business, your cubicle, or wherever you work, into a war room. I said this last hour, and let me say that, repeat it again. We need, this comes from experiencing God's study that Henry Blackaby did several years ago. We need to be watching to see where God's at work and joining. Because you're going to come in contact with people that are not believers, right? And you're going to hear stories. You're going to hear what God's doing in them or the struggles they have. And all you could need to do is say, you know, brother, I heard you over lunch. Forgive me for eavesdropping. But I'm a person of faith. I'm going to be praying for your situation. Let me know how it goes. Boom. And then you take his name and take him to the throne of grace and intercede for him and on his behalf and watch God do a mighty work. Because we're in spiritual business. And our private prayer life is important. And this affects not only you, but then you take it to your life Bible study group, as we're going to process through this. It can affect what you do here. Because I promise you, when people start seeing that you connect with God and God's connecting with you and answers are being given and done, people will start coming and say, hey, would you pray for me? Would you add me to your prayer list? You know what that is? That's honoring. Take that as an honor, humbly, that you get to pray. These lost people, you know, they don't have that connection yet. But you and I get to touch heaven and touch the throne. Okay? Now, you see the word reminders, Joshua 4, 6, and 21. It's about those reminders where you remember he said, generations will come and they'll be asking, what do these stones mean? We have a tendency to forget things, don't we? Am I the only one in here? Okay. Don and I and Jay were eating breakfast this morning, and you've done this before. You sat down, and you think you have it all together, and you start. Don was doing this. He was looking. You know what he's looking for? His phone. Couldn't find his phone. And when you don't find your phone, you get frantic, don't you? Okay? Then he remembered he left it in the car. So we forget things. My youngest son, God bless his heart, he's a chemical engineering major at OU. But sometimes I think his head gets screwed off and he can't find anything. He'll lose stuff time and time again. We lose things. We forget things. The point is, we need to be having reminders, which leads us to this word journaling. Making notes. So when someone says, hey, would you pray for me? Yes, what's your name? And your name is Tammy. All right, Tammy, what's your need? And you write that down. And then you date it. And that's number three. Do practical application of these reminders and journaling. So practical application is us taking the date of the request. So today is January the 27th, 2017. And I'm going to pray for Tammy, and I'm going to pray for her needs. So you put the date down, and then you put the date that it was answered and how God answered that. Okay? Let's say Tammy asked us to pray as a Life Bible Study class. She's lost her job and she needs God to come through. Okay? You've heard those prayers before, right? And so we pray and we intercede. Now, not only do we pray for Tammy, but we say, what needs do you have? Okay? You're going to probably go through your savings account if you have any, right? Needs a job. She likes to eat, right?
Of course.
It's important. You can see me. I like to eat. All right? I didn't have missed too many meals. But you pray for her needs. And then we pray and watch God answer a prayer that God provides a job for her. We write down that date, answered, and how God did that. And the people maybe that he used that intersected and interceded in your life. And you know what that does? Motivates you, encourages the team, encourages you. And we sit back and think, wow, God, you did that. You answered that prayer on our behalf. And the only thing we can do is praise him, right? Praise him. Glorify him. Give him honor and praise and glory. That right there ought to encourage us when God answers our prayers. Now, this isn't in the notes, but the first three are real. Let me share with you how God answers prayers. The first three are real. The fourth one is not. Okay, so just let me preface that. All right, the way he answers prayer is sometimes he answers yes. Now, I'm not telling you what time frame he answers yes, right? But sometimes it takes a while, doesn't it? And why is that? Maybe we're not ready for that. We've got to know Father knows best. God knows best. So sometimes he gives us a yes. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes he gives us no. And when your children, when you told your children, if you were blessed with children or have children or any, when you told your children no, you remember their response sometimes? Give me an example. How did they act?
Temper tantrum.
And they normally got that from mom or dad, you know, the opposite, right?
Yeah. One of us.
Yeah. Okay, remember that? We're his children. Not too many of us like to be told no, right? But there was a guy that I went to school with who wrote and sung a song. His name was Garth Brooks. Remember the song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? Now, I know that's a secular song, but sometimes country and Western music can have pretty good application and stuff. So I'm sometimes thankful. I was thankful that God didn't answer my prayers for the women that I dated and I thought I needed to marry. And I look back and I go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting me. So it's okay that God tells us no. Yes, no, and here's a hard one. Might be as hard as no, but wait. Wait. And I know all of us in here are patient people. And we've all prayed for patience, which I jokingly say to people, never pray for patience. And you know why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he
trust, he tests you on that.
Yes, he does, doesn't he? Yeah, okay, buddy, all right. You think you're,
I'll give you some patience.
That's right. Yeah. Check your spiritual history here and how big you think you are, big boy, okay? But he tells us to wait. And there's reasons for that, right? There were reasons for you to tell your children to wait. And I hope this doesn't get back to Oklahoma City, but my youngest son has a girlfriend, and they know they're made for each other. They know they want to get married to each other. And so he's ready to marry her. And guess what mom and dad are saying? Wait. You got a year and a half of school left. Well, Cameron got married. Well, yeah, that's a strike against us for allowing that to happen. Just wait. Okay? Just wait. And sometimes in waiting, God wants us to grow in our faith, and he might have something better for us. Right? So yes, no, wait. The fourth one is I remember I set this up. It's he says, you've got to be kidding. Okay? God doesn't do that. Okay? But it is a good laugh, right? Yes, no, wait. You got to be kidding, okay? God is in the business of answering our prayers in his timing and in his way. So practically do it with application of doing journaling. Now, number four, why journal? Why do we journal? You remember reading the Old Testament, the children of Israel and their journey? And how many times God blessed them, how many times God provided for them. And you remember how they griped and complained there was no food, and what God do? Sent what? Manna. All right? And they had manna in the morning, they had manna in the afternoon, and then the evening time, and then manna in the morning, manna in the afternoon, manna in the morning. You get the picture. Okay? What'd they do?
Complained.
They forgot how good they had it. And I know none of us in here have ever done that. So we have to have lessons and reminders of journaling. And all we have to do is go to the Old Testament and read and watch how God was patient with them and provided for them and protected them. So why do we journal? Well, it gives us reasons to reflect. And sometimes we don't like doing that anymore, do we? Why should we reflect? What are some reasons and some benefits of reflecting?
Makes you continue to remember when God's answered your prayers.
Yes.
We have a tendency to move on and kind of say, thanks for that one, Lord, but what about this next one coming?
We men have a hard time in reflecting, because we like to, some of us like to hunt. I don't hunt. I don't like to kill things. But some of us like to hunt. We go shoot, you know, 12 point buck, cut his head off, put it on the wall. Look, I conquered that. There's more to conquer. We go on. We don't like to reflect. We don't have to look back. Well, we need to. What's the other reason?
I think it helps us to remember the significance of that particular prayer request and the answer. Remember how important that was. You know, we might forget some of the struggle or the, but it's a reminder of how great his faithfulness was.
Yes.
And maybe that he answered in a way that we didn't expect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And normally it's better than what we anticipated, right?
Usually, yeah.
Because he knows
a thousand times.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Also puts things in perspective. You know, just let you know who's in control.
Yes.
There's reasons. Allow him to unveil that to you in the reflection.
Yes. It's good. Next one gives us reason to rejoice. We not only can reflect, but we can rejoice with the fact that, man, God did this. And it reminded us, because we forget, don't we? We have a tendency to forget. Most of you women, I don't know too many women that forget things.
Especially when you mess up.
You're awful brave, young man. We might want to stop and pray for you right now. I would have thought more of you if she wasn't in here, but she's in here. What's your name? We need to pray for you right now. What is it?
Harold.
One way or another, there's only some laying on some hands.
Oh, yeah. Harold, I will be praying for you, brother. I hope to see you back next year if I'm back. But women, and my wife is the same. She remembers things. She brings up stuff about when the boys were this and that and younger, and I'm thinking, I act like, yeah. So, but so ladies, help us, guys. Okay, we're a little slow in that area. Reflect, rejoice, and then it gives us reason to respond to God and the devil. It gives us reason to respond to God and the devil. All right? I think that's why it's important that we journal. And it increases our faith. It moves it from maybe that tall little, small little tiny seed to maybe a little something bigger. And people trust you with those prayer requests. Now, I want to share an illustration with you. Any pilots in here? Anybody? Pilots fly planes. I had an experience of being in a small plane with just me and the pilot. Okay, I couldn't fly the plane if he went down. I mean, you know, like had heart problems. So we get in the plane, and he starts the engine, and he starts talking to the tower. Tower, this is Cessna 777, and we're ready. Okay, hold right there. And it wasn't a large airport, but it was, you know, it was big enough that there was other activity going on. From the tower, okay, C777, you can proceed to runway such and such. Okay, so we start moving out. Planes around us. Okay, C777, I need you to stop in about 20 yards. So we stop. So this is this conversation between the tower and the pilot, and the pilot and the tower. Okay, you can proceed 77 down this runway. So we go down. We see this big old plane coming. Okay, you know, stop. Let this plane pass. We did. Okay, proceed. Going down to the end of the runway. Get in line. So we did. And then we, you know, you know how you've been there. You've seen these planes get in line. We get ready. All right, 777 is ready to take off from the pilot telling the tower. The tower says hold. So we hold. Plane comes flying in over us, or next to us, you know how those runways go. Tower, we're ready. Tower says hold. Another plane comes in. Pilot says, tower, we're ready. He says, I know you're ready. But hold. So we hold. Another plane comes in. Tower says, 777, you can go. Take off. We get up in the air. He's conversing back and forth with the tower. The tower's telling where to turn. What level, how high to get up. You understand the situation all most of us have flown? That conversation back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the pilot finally says, and the tower finally says, okay, you're out of our range. We're switching you to this radar system, and your destination, you know, is an hour away. You want to learn? We, as God's children, have always got to be in touch with the tower. Okay, God, this is Randy. Thank you for another day of life. My feet's getting ready to hit the floor. I know what I have to do in my agenda book. Get in God's word that morning. Pray. We praise. We repent. We ask. We yield. We submit. God, I'm ready for my day. Thank you for my breakfast. God, I'm ready to proceed. Okay, go get in your car. And then you go about your day. Always in touch with the tower. Pray without ceasing. God, we get thank you for getting me to work safely. Amen. All right? Especially around here again. all through the day. We do our work, and then God gives you the spirit of pray for Harold. Okay? And that's what God does with me. He gives me names and faces. Pray for, do this. Go about your day. Always in touch with the tower. Always in touch with the tower. Never stop talking to the tower. Because the tower is our protection. The tower is what tells us where to go and when to go and what to do. And you're in the line at Walmart or the grocery store, and God says, say a kind word to that lady behind you because she's got three kids that are driving her crazy. And you turn around and you say, oh, what three precious kids. Hang in there, mama. Hang in there. Pray for them. God tells you this, that, and the other. Stay in touch with the tower. So if you want a powerful prayer life, stay in touch with the tower. Because when you don't stay in touch with the tower, you might take off that day, and he's not ready for you to take off that day. You might get to an intersection, and you've probably seen this on YouTube, where the guy, light turns green, he goes, someone runs a red light, they're gone. So you know what I do now? Light turns green, I wait. God, can I go? Tower says, go. You go. You get it? Pray without ceasing. Be in touch with the tower. I heard that illustration from a black preacher named E.V. Hill several years ago. And there's one thing I wish I could be is have that energy and that excitement from the African-American people. Because E.V. Hill would say, get in touch with the tower. We just let it rip. He was the most popular pastor in America back in his prime. So think about the tower when you go about your daily life. Think about how important it is that you stay in touch with the tower. And think about how important your prayers are. Because God's listening. He's waiting for his children to talk to him. Amen? He wants to hear from his children. Now, I have a real unique relationship, speaking of children, with my boys, along with Mama, Amy. There's hardly a day that goes by that I don't talk to my boys, and my boys don't talk to me. And people find that strange. I think it's strange not to talk to them daily. Because I want them to talk to Daddy. I want them to talk to Mama. And God wants that from his children. See how that works? All right, number five. Your life Bible study groups, your LBS groups. This is so important that you can be a conduit of change if this isn't happening within your life Bible study group. Develop this journal. Develop these ways to take prayer requests. And you gotta be careful with this, because what they say in your life Bible study group is coming from a trust factor. Because you know how sometimes Baptists do. We share this prayer request. Did you hear that Sally's having trouble? Or Jim is, okay? It's an honoring thing for life Bible study groups to keep it family and not to go out and share the family laundry, okay? So take requests, write them down. Take them to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Y'all familiar with this passage of Scripture? Let me read it, because I pray this a lot when I don't know what to pray. I pray this a lot when I'm in a situation with a family that's at the hospital. I pray this a lot when I don't know how to pray. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. He says, this is why we have a great high priest who has gone to the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. He says, let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, For he has faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that there we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our time of need. That's powerful. So think about this. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, we as his children, who've been adopted by him, gives us access to come to the throne of grace to find mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We get to intercede for people that way. And we get to talk to the Father and through Jesus and intercede for people. That's why it's important that we journal. That's important that we write these prayer requests down with name and the date that we prayed, and watch how God answered that prayer. And then it gives us rejoicing. And then it gives us energy. It gives us more excitement that we can go to the throne of grace. Because I've been in situations in ministry, and you have too. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. But you can take it to the throne of grace that we can find mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't that exciting? I love that. So, never underestimate the power of prayer. Amen? All right, number six. Be intentional about prayer and make it a priority. If we're not intentional, what will we become?
Circumstance. You pray about circumstance.
Mm-hmm. How focused do you think we would be if we're not intentional?
Not very.
Yep.
Just put it off. Just like everything else, you procrastinate.
Yes. And we human beings can do that pretty well, can't we, sometimes? And it's okay to be motivated, driven, and you know, just on point. But sometimes we don't get intentional enough. And we let things slide, all those types of things. But when it comes to prayer, people trust you with a prayer request, and word's going to get out. Oh, he's a prayer warrior. She's a prayer warrior. And they start bringing a prayer request to you. You know what that is? That's honoring. They trust you with that. So have an intentional plan about prayer. Make it a priority. All right, first bullet point on number six. Develop a prayer team within your Life Bible study group. I know this is a crazy situation here, but don't you think all Christians should have a desire to pray? We should want that. Because probably it was prayer that got us into the kingdom of God, right? Somebody prayed for us. Your mom or dad prayed for you to become a Christian. Friends prayed for you. So it's important that we develop a prayer team. And I know at my church, like I said, we got a prayer room, intercessory prayer room. We have a hard time filling that. We let busyness take over sometimes. We're too busy to do that. We don't have time. We make excuses. But there will be a group of people in your Life Bible study group that will have the same motivation that you do, but you might have to work hard to find them, but that's okay. It's okay to struggle. Find that prayer team that your class, your Life Bible study group can trust, and then be honored that they give you these prayer requests, however you want to collect them. But I know we only have a certain amount of time on Sunday mornings to do Bible study, and we're supposed to, you know, do all those other important things, announcements and prayer requests and fellowships, and then we got to get to the Word, right? So be mindful about how we do that. The second point under number six, develop a way to collect requests. So do a prayer card. Not only just ask for them verbally, but have some type of means of a prayer card that you don't take up a large amount of time, because you know how those can go. Pray for my second cousin on the family side that, you know, has some toe jam problems. What? Then you're embarrassed. Just write it down. Have people write it down. You know, my grandmother fell and broke her pinky toe. Okay, well, God bless you. Let's pray for that. But take those prayer requests. They're important. You know, nothing is not important. So have a way to do that. And then finally, Keep the class informed on updates. Keep the class informed on updates. Any thoughts? Any word of encouragement? Yes.
One of the things that we've asked our class to do is to, when you go out to dinner, is when your food is served, is to ask the wait person to say, you know, we're going to pray over our food. Is there something we can pray about for you?
Yes.
And it's amazing the request, the answers go from, no, I'm good, to people breaking down and sobbing in front of you.
Yes.
And you pray for them right there. I mean, yes. Don't let them get away. Just pray for them right there.
Yes. Don did that last night as we ate supper. And I do that. And here's how I do it. Because I don't like to put them on the spot. And I'm not a quick thinker. I'm a process person. So as they come and take, just one way, as they come and take our drink order, and they always say, well, I'll be back. I say, well, we're going to order here in a little bit. But as we give you our order, I would like for you, if you have a prayer need, that you give us your prayer request. And before we eat our food, we're going to pray for you and your prayer request. So it gives them time to process that as they go get your drinks. And they're thinking, oh my goodness, these groups are going to pray for me. And they'll have some needs. And then, as Don did, brought the food. But he asked them, hey, you got any prayer needs? And he said, yeah, I'm in school. I need a lot of prayer. So we pray for him, and we pray for our food. So it just gives them that little bit of processing to think about, I'm filling 5 cups of water. I need prayer. Comes back. And then if you have an opportunity, you know, whatever else comes up. That's awesome. Good word. We're not done. I've got one more scripture I want us to walk through. But I want to hear from you. Any other ideas about praying? Go ahead. Yes, please.
This is more on family, but we make an effort to do that to start our day. So I got 2 kids, and before we all go off to whatever we're doing that day, we gather in a circle and just have a family prayer time.
Yes.
And it kind of sets the tone for the day.
Awesome. Like I said, my youngest is at OU studying chemical engineering. My middle son's married, Cameron. He and Allie live in Portland, Oregon. And then Ian, my oldest, is a professional golfer. And I was on pins and needles all afternoon. He's playing in a tournament down in Bogota, Colombia, trying to qualify for the PGA Latin American Tour. And he won the tournament.
Oh, wow.
So you're talking about when he gets to playing, I get to praying. And golf's a crazy game. If anybody ever played it or watched it, sometimes they can be mental giants, and sometimes they can fold under the least little bit of something that happened. And so Tiger and others that won a lot, that's a rarity. It's hard to win. So he came through and won. So that means he's exempt all next year to play down there in Central and South America. But what the speaker said, Neil said a while ago, how he loved getting his hugs from his daddy. So Ian's flying right now back to the United States, back to Houston International. And I said, I'm flying out of Houston in the morning, but I have a hobby. So he gets back at 10:30, I'll get back at 12:30. But I can't wait to give him a hug. Yeah, so it's cool. Yes, sir.
I think also for me, there's comfort when you know someone is praying for you.
Yes.
I do some traveling, and I'm a speaker by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife knows when I'm speaking.
Yes.
And she always reminds me, I'll be praying for you.
Yes.
And I feel when I'm performing, I feel God's presence, and I know I feel secure because I know she's praying.
Yes.
So it gives me a lot of comfort.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's also just something that God brought home to me recently. It's important to pray right there with people sometimes. I mean, it's great that you have a prayer list and people know you're praying for them, but
there's something even more special about just praying right there with them.
Yes. And I would add, in an appropriate way, with women to women, men to men.
Oh, absolutely.
But my other thought is what Neil was talking about, the power of prayer, or the power of touch. Pray appropriately with touching. Okay? Either holding hands with a female, women to women. Of course, I pray with women all the time in a public place. I'm a hugger, okay? But I'm always hugging from the side. I'm hugging appropriately. But it's that power of touch. Being a singles pastor, there's a lot of single people that don't get touched. Okay? So I'm handshaking, I'm high-fiving, I'm hugging these ladies. My wife will be present. She knows I'm hugging them from the side. We need touch. And I'll never forget going to hospital visit when I was young in ministry, being taught about how to do hospital visits. The Minister of Education called me. This is after Sunday night, like 10:30, 11:30 at night. He said, "Hey, you'll go with me to the hospital. We got a church member dying." It was an older lady. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Yes." He said, "I want you to go and watch." I said, "Okay." So I went. I stood at the foot of her bed. She was close to dead. And Bill, and I told Bill recently this. He took her hand, and he was talking to her. And as we prayed, he was just caressing his hand, her hand. And you know what he taught me? He tells me that he believes the last sense of our senses that leaves is a touch. Okay? Power touch. And as he prayed, she passed. Went to glory. And as a young 21-year-old minister, I'm sitting there just bawling and thinking, that's the first person I ever seen die. First. It's not like TV. Okay? And I watched my daddy die, and I watched my mama die. I was right there with him. And mom, stroke hit her heart. Struggled for an hour. I said, "Let her go." She hadn't quite died yet. Got in there and touched her. Mm-hmm. Talked to her. And prayed. In the power of touch. Okay? Let me encourage you with one more word. Somewhere in your piece of paper, write down Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. It's really going to be a lot of Acts chapter 12. And I want to give you three quick things. I want to focus in on chapter 12, verse 5. And so here's what it says. I'm going to give you three quick points before we finish. We're supposed to be done at 10:20, right, John? Okay, here we go. About that time, King Herod began to persecute some of the believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. Okay? When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he arrested Peter during the Passover celebration and imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads and four soldiers each. Herod's intention was to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. While Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Okay? Now, in the Passover, we all know what that means, right? Remember when the death angel, he said, "If you have the blood across your doorpost, I'll pass over you." One of the things that I pray for my kids every day in my family is that, God, that you would cover us with your blood of protection and station your angels about all of us. My wife was involved in a car accident on January, one of the J's, January the 4th. Semi-truck, she was going about 30 miles an hour, swiped the whole left side of her vehicle on her Suburban. And growing up, going to school at OBU, doing work, I can't imagine how many guardian angels I've killed across. God covered us with the blood of protection, and he stations his angels about us. There's power in that. Okay, so while Peter was in prison, get the setting, the church prayed earnestly for him. So the first point is that we need to pray to God, obviously, right? Pray to God. And we begin with praise. We focus on God. We have that uncluttered focus. Sometimes it takes us a while to get to that uncluttered focus, right? But we have that uncluttered focus. So we're praying to God. So So the church was praying very earnestly. So number two, they prayed together. Okay? There's unity, there's power in prayer. And then it says, this version says earnestly, but the other version says fervently. The word fervently literally means to stretch and to strain. Okay? I'm not asking you to judge your prayer life whether you fervently stretch or strain, but it's important sometimes that we don't let God go until we have stretched and strained and He knows that this is serious to us and we mean business and He understands that. I mean, He knows all that before we get there. But if you just say, now I lay me down to sleep, I park my hot rod in the street, if it should roll before I wake, I pray the Lord will pull the brake. That's not going to do anything for us, is it? We got to strain. We got to stretch. And this is what the church did. Now, would you like to hear the rest of the story? We've heard it before. You ready? The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep. In prison, chained to guards, a lot of guards. He was asleep. What does that tell you about where he was with the Lord?
It's peaceful.
Yeah. He didn't know what was happening the next day. He didn't know what his future held, but he knows who was holding his future. He was asleep. So that shows me some spiritual maturity, some growth. From the guy that I dogged last hour about what we talked about on discipling, Peter had foot and mouth disease, remember? He walked around with laces hanging out of his mouth. Now he's the first person that preached in the book of Acts. 3,000 people get saved. Now he's in prison, all right? So, chained between two soldiers, another standing guard. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. Now Peter's asleep, okay? The angel tapped him on the side. Some versions and translations, literally he had to punch him to wake him up. It wasn't like Amy waking me up. It was like, punched me. He got punched in the side. He says, quick, get up. The chains fell off his wrist. The angel told him to get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now, put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was really happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate to the street. And this opened to them by itself. So he passed through and started walking down the street. The angel suddenly left him. Finally, Peter realized what had happened. It's really true, he says to himself. The Lord has sent an angel and saved me from Herod and from the Jews that were hoping to do me harm. All right? Got it? So where does Peter go?
He goes to the house where Rhoda looks for him.
Yes.
Through the window.
He goes to where the church is praying. Because remember, the church was praying in verse 5. Now, this doesn't happen to us. Okay? So, he goes. After a little while, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for what? Football party? Dessert? Socials? Sequence? Games. They were praying. The church was praying. Now, this is great. He knocked at the door at the gate, and the servant girl, Rhoda, came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter's standing at the door. And so what did the church do? Yes, thank God you've answered our prayers. No. They did what we do. My version says, you're out of your mind. That's what they told her. Lord, we pray for Peter. We pray for safety. God, Jesus, we pray that you'll protect him. Don't let him kill him. No, no, no. Peter's there. You got to be kidding. You're out of your mind. But Lord, we pray for protection. Lord, we pray you'll do a mighty work in Peter's life. We know he's your instrument. He's at the door. No, you got to be kidding. None of us do that, right? Pray expectantly. Pray fervently. All right? Meanwhile, Peter's still knocking at the door. When they finally went out and opened the door, they were amazed. I don't know if us ever do that, right? He motioned for them to quiet down and told them what had happened and how the Lord had let him out of the jail. Isn't that cool? I pray that will encourage you in your prayer time. We all have those human tendencies, right? We pray that God would protect us, and He does, and we need to praise Him at the end of the day. We pray for God to do this, and He protects us. We need to praise Him at the end of the day. We don't need to go, "You're out of your mind." Mm-hmm. I had the privilege last Thursday to pray for a lady that had asked for the pastors to pray for her and anoint her with oil. She had neck pain and chronic headaches. And Satan was doing a number on me all night, Wednesday night, thinking, "Who are you? Who are you to go pray for this woman?" So my pastor led this prayer. He anointed her with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He anointed her forehead with a cross, and we prayed over her. A week later goes by, and I said, "The pastor, have you heard from Ruth?" He said, "No, let me find out." So Ruth's husband sent us an email that her headaches are gone and her neck pain is gone. Praise the Lord. Amen? He will use you to move mountains. Believe in Him, trust Him, and give Him glory. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Blessings. Thank you. All right. Sorry I'm a little late, but blessings. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the evening. Go get some cappuccino or something to keep you awake for one more hour. Y'all are awesome.
When we So they had been fighting the fight. They had fought a fighter, and it was pretty bad. And they, you know, and so the captain, someone goes, "Hey, did your mom pray for us?" He goes, "Yes, she did." He goes, "Well, you know, those firemen, and one of them is a believer. I don't know about the others, but you know, I thought, oh, Lord, A, I didn't know my son would tell them, but B, they come to know that if they're working with him, I'm praying." So.